Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Roar Shepherd, and we're going to talk about his new book, The Universe Speaks, The Love and Pain of 2012 to 2025, in which he describes his phenomenal conversations with the messenger from the Pleiades, who has imparted some startling and important knowledge that will affect and guide humans in profound ways. So, welcome to the program, Roar.
Thank you so much for having me on the phone, Michael. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm also glad. Just a couple of small points here before we get into your book. You seem to me to have a very unusual first name. Is there any significance for that?
Not sure. I mean, my parents were hippies from San Francisco.
Right.
They were escaping the East Coast, the conservative culture of the East Coast. They wanted to break the traditional system as it was, education, religion, thought patterns, and they wanted something new, and they joined the 60s Revolution and went west. And when I was born, they were watching the 1972 Olympic ice skaters from Norway,
yes.
And one of them was named Roar, R-O-H-R. And my parents said, ah, Roar, good name. They heard the sound, they said, good name. And they gave me that name, but they spelt it just the way a lion roars, R-O-A-R.
Interesting. Well, there you are. There is a reason for it. It's not entirely plucked out of sort of thin air.
No, it's not a false name. It's not a given to me as a stardom name or something for anything else. It was actually given to me by my parents. I remember when I was 5 years old, I was visiting an Indian reservation in Canada, and the Indian chief, a big Indian chief with feathers covering his head, he came and visited me, and he asked me, what is your name? And I said, Roar. And he said, what? And I said, Roar. And he looked at me, and he bowed down. He said, good name.
I like it. Well, I must say, having met you, no one would forget it. That's for certain. It's very... very unusual. Maybe that's not such a bad thing for someone who's an author. Now, my other question is, I'm told you're a master of the art of Dangyong breathing. What is that exactly? I've never heard of that before.
Well, there are various types of breathing in the world now. And as we enter towards 2012, as we enter towards a big shift and a big change, people are getting this consciousness that they want to breathe all of a sudden. And that's because actually one way to get through the shift and one part of the consciousness, the new consciousness, is making our breathing go deeper. And so it's natural that everyone wants to breathe nowadays. But we haven't been taught it. I spent 15 years in the East, so especially Korea, where they still do this kind of breathing. So I learned it there in the West. It's just now, you know, I'm one of the few people to actually bring it out here. It's not known out here. What we do is we do a lot of breath work in the West. And so we take the breath. If you breathe from your chest, it's very shallow. But if you're able to take it down somewhere into the abdominal area, then you can pull in more oxygen. And that's what meditation does. So people do meditation because scientifically they've proven that through bringing the oxygen down to your abdominal area, you can pull in more natural healing ability, more creativity. You can calm your mind. You can bring more balance to your emotions and to your body frame as well. So that's an extreme great benefit. However, if you want to do something deeper, as in some kind of self-awakening or some kind of tap into the deeper universe conscious that is out there and be able to have conversations with plants and animals or even the universe itself, then you need to go to a much deeper level of breathing. So where normal meditation taps into alpha wavelengths, you need to be able to tap into a much deeper one. And through that, you have to do something called Dangyong breathing, which means to breathe below your belly button, below your navel.
Right.
In the West, we call it our gut. You know, why do we call it our gut instinct, our gut power? So the starting points are the same. East and West started at the same point, the gut. But the East went and researched that for thousands of years, and that's why they have all these books about the power of breathing, and breathing takes you to enlightenment. And the West just said, wow, the gut is important now, but I can't see it, so let's forget about that.
Right.
So Dangyong breathing means to bring your consciousness and to bring your consciousness and breathing together at the same place below the belly button, and it means to accumulate energy. When you do yoga or Pilates or various kinds of breath work, abdominal area, you actually don't accumulate any energy. After the exercise is done, the energy flies away. So there's right. no consistent reservoir that's gathered. But when you do diamond breathing, like gathering snowflakes, you gather energy and you create a very powerful energy base for you that's used to go deeper into silence. And when you can maintain that long enough, it goes into the universe consciousness, into lower alpha wavelengths, and you can tap into various information that's out there about yourself or just overall balance and clarity in your daily life. So it's very, very powerful stuff. It's very important for 2012. It's very important for your health and for overall intuition.
Yes, that all seems to make good sense because I think it's generally accepted that we human beings usually breathe very shallow, and as you're pointing out, it would help us a lot if we were to breathe more deeply.
You're a genius, Michael. You're picking up the exact. I mean, we are born. We actually breathe from our dungeon. We actually breathe. Mm. If you watch a baby, or if you watch nature, you watch the animals or the chipmunks or whatever, any animal out there, they're all breathing from their gut. So a baby also breathes from its gut. But when it reaches the age of four, its breathing rises up to its chest area, because we should be more imbalanced human beings. This is how we learn on this planet. We learn through our imbalances. But breathing from the chest is very shallow. So when you breathe from the chest, you live your life based on the energy you're born with. So if you're born strong energy, well, then you're lucky enough to live a healthy life. If you're born weak energy, then you're always feeling a lack of health or vitality all the time. So most important is to somehow get that breathing down farther to gain some energy and make it circulation flow in the body. And then if you can actually accumulate energy, my goodness, well then, for example, if some kind of challenge happens, a physical, political, financial, even natural disaster occurs, at that state, what happens? Your body goes into immediate fear or reaction or crisis, and you need to be able to handle that. You need the mental strength to, in a moment's time, have clarity, have calmness of balance. You need to be able to save and help other people. That's why breathing is very important on a basic level.
Right, yes, it all seems to make good sense to me.
Now, enlightenment is not bad either.
Now, I haven't actually read your book, and I believe your agent sent me a copy, but I guess with the Christmas mail around, it's been delayed. But I've managed to find a book review, which is rather revealing in its own way. So I think I have enough information to have a good conversation with you. But you clearly have a message for people. Where would you like to start?
Oh my goodness, but there's so much to start from. We can start from I mean, it's a huge book, and it covers everything from why the crisis is happening in 2012, why it's coming, specifically why it's coming to the Earth, why it's happening now, what are the photon belts, and then again, what are the actual natural disasters that are going to occur on continent to continent, and what are the preparations that need to be made, and so what are the challenges that are going to face, and then after these challenges, what kind of incredible love is going to unfold, this new society, beautiful society that we've all dreamt about, the paradise in terms of politics and economics and, you know, social society. And then it goes into conversations that I've had with Socrates and Shakespeare and Mozart, the cosmic beings who come from the universe and were here once before, and they have messages for us that the cosmic beings are completely misunderstood. They're trying to tell us that we are very precious people, and we need to prepare ourselves for what's to come in the future and for what's to come now, and then what the new future looks like. So that's all in the book. So there's a lot, and it also contains universe wavelengths in the book, and so it awakens you just by reading it, but you have to read it a few times, and each time you read it will be different. But I guess the starting point would be that a change is coming, and I think people can notice it. If they look out there, they can feel that somehow time is speeding up, and there's all kinds of, you know, uncertainty and uneasiness happening everywhere. I think everyone feels that, right? You feel that the economy is just somehow not right. And what is our collective goal? We're not sure anymore. And just somehow the world just seems a little bit different now. There's a little bit uncertain about that. And I think that there's a reason for that, and we need to go into that. So we can go into that if you like. Hello?
Oh, hello, Roy. Sorry, I was reading a bit of paper there and then put it down when you suddenly finished. Yes, I was going to say, since your information comes through your contact with the Pleiadians, perhaps I should ask the question, what they've been doing, along perhaps with other civilizations, over the last few thousands of years, because you tell us that they've been coming to Earth for that period of time. What has been the whole object of their contact with us for this period of time? Hello? Hello, Ron?
PBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge bring humanity closer to truth.
Hello, Roy. Have we got you back?
We've got me back, I apologise.
Oh, great, that sounds even clearer now. So I guess our listeners realise that we had a little technical hitch there for some reason, and you were in full flight, I think, telling us about the contact the space beings have had with us, because you mentioned it's been for thousands of years. So in case your answer wasn't fully heard, perhaps you'd just like to tell us what your comments were.
Well, I was mentioning about, you know, why this crisis is going to happen. I was mentioning that people feel uneasy nowadays. Mm. And so, actually, these conversations for me began because I was doing eco-farming in Korea, in the mountains, and I was doing breathing, and I started to talk to plants and animals, and as I said, through breathing you can lower your wavelengths, and all of a sudden, as it's very strange, but all these, you know, the dandelions and the potatoes and these animals and plants just started talking to me and saying how the Earth is in a very precarious situation, and it's not in a good situation, so we should try to take care of the Earth, and let's try to think about it. You know, Mother Gaia, our Earth, is in pain. And so we are responsible for the Earth. We came down here to take care of her. So one of the reasons of 2012 is that the Earth is a school. And we need to remember that we all actually come from somewhere in the universe. I know it's hard to believe, but we are actually cosmic beings ourselves. Right now we're just wearing disguise. So we need to remember that this is the time for us to remember where we came from. And the Earth is going through a shift. And so the animals and plants said, hey, we're preparing for this. But the shift is going to depend on how much love we give to the Earth, because the Earth is going to have to go through some natural disasters to purify herself. So if we look at the plants and animals and see their conditions, then it's very obvious that we need to make some changes for that. But the natural disasters are coming, but it's not the big picture. The big picture is why is this happening? It's because the Earth is ready to make a change.
Yes, because you have mentioned indeed, you used the words about the emergence of a new humanity. Now, how will it change from what it is now to what is envisaged in the future?
How will it change? Well, because first we have to go through the challenges first. So the challenges are going to be very tough. So we need to prepare for the challenges. And after that, a beautiful world will wake up, and we're going to go through a period where our DNA will change, and we'll be able to. I think it's imagining sort of like John Lennon in his song. What would the world look like in the beautiful future without countries or without boundaries, or what would the world look like if we all can love each other? So it'd be a beautiful world of love where we can actually live very long, live up to 1,000 years. And we have a beautiful world where we can actually communicate through the mind, through telepathy, and visit, you know, cosmic beings and have the most advanced technology you can imagine, and have the most evolved politics you can imagine. But to get there, we have to prepare ourselves first to go to that stage. So if you say, there are a few points to mention, we'd say that first thing, the five things we don't know about 2012, the first thing, it's coming much sooner than we think. Like, Michael, if I asked you about 2012, when would you say it's something that's coming right away, or would you say it's something that's happening in 10 or 20 years?
Right. So will, as most people think, 2012 actually prove to be a key point where there will be perhaps a greater upliftment than at any other time?
So most people, when they talk about 2012, they either talk about the time frame seems to be talking about a much greater, much longer time. So they think either it's a doomsday story, the world's coming to an end, or that we still have enough time, 10, 20 more years to prepare some new technology or to prepare for changes. But the information I'm receiving is that it's pretty accurate that this year is the warning year. And it's coming much sooner than we think. So let's have an honest conversation about what we're really feeling. All the uneasiness out there is actually an individual test for each person at the level they're at to let them decide whether they're going to wake up to a new era that's coming. It's going to be full of love and brotherhood and community, or they're going to stay attached to the old era, which is greed and competition. So every single crisis on the earth right now can be seen as an individual test at every level, whether it's corporate or company or individual, whether they're going to choose the new way of thinking, because you're already entering into this new way of thinking, or they're going to stick to the old ways. If they stick to the old ways, then the crises, individual and collective, will just continue to get greater and greater. And so it's an honest conversation about this is coming right at us. So this year was a warning year. There were very high increase of natural disasters this year. And people say, oh, well, they've happened before, but not at this magnitude. The increase in the magnitude of earthquakes above 5.0, 6.0, above 7.0, this is the first time that's happened in a long time. And volcanic movements and tsunamis. So this is a warning to let us know that they're going to hit each year. Next year, it's each continent simultaneously. So we have to think about why that is here. And the reason for that is because all of us are very precious. And I know people don't like to think about terms of evolution, but it's a time to actually expand our consciousness. And so each planet goes through three different stages. And the first stage is a stage where there's just a consciousness, and that consciousness needs to be developed. And the second stage is where we need to learn about how to use rational thought and how to use technology. And the third stage is actually to create a spiritual civilization based on material. So the Earth has actually reached this stage where now we're going toward a spiritual civilization based on, you know, how to use material where we don't damage the economy or damage the environment. So we're supposed to live in harmony with nature, which we haven't done. So we all felt this for a long time, that we should live in harmony with that, but we never thought how important it is. Well, now it's our final test, whether we're actually going to live with nature in harmony or not do that. And so Actually, we all came down and within the universe. You know, if we all, before we're born, we live somewhere in the universe. We're out there as cosmic beings ourselves, and evolution happens very slowly. There's nothing to make you evolve because everything's so peaceful and so beautiful. Mm. So you decide, you're this passionate, brave soul that says, I want to evolve. I want to evolve quickly in a short period of time. Well, that's what the Earth is. The Earth is a special school, a special planet, where in a short period of time you can evolve. And what is it that lets you evolve? Well, it's the motive of emotions. You're here and you're born imbalanced. You're constantly feeling imbalanced. You're motivated by that. And you're motivated by constantly seeing all these negative things or being moved by emotions. So those are the great motivators. In a short time, you can either reach a very high level of evolution or you can get knocked down and not be able to go back to the universe. And that's what's called reincarnation, being stuck in the magnetic field of the Earth and not being able to go back. And so it's a great gamble coming here. So what is 2012? It's the end of this gamble. The Earth ends its cycle as a school. It's no longer in that third-dimensional school planet. So what that means is that the magnetic field which holds all the souls and all the consciousness of everyone on the planet is going to be released. That's what it means by going through the photon belt. As you get closer and finally hit to the center of that that magnetic field is released. So all these souls, where they're going to go, well, it depends. If you start sending them love now and they start praying as well, then they can rise up as well. Otherwise, they'll be sent to another planet at the same level. So all the souls over here now, it's the same meaning as well. So everyone must wake up to, they originally came here because they wanted to evolve. And they originally came here to have a player role, to do something. And so in my book, when I have conversations with Mozart and Shakespeare and Mother Teresa, they all say, well, there was a role needed and I decided to play that role. So what role did you sign up for? And most souls who are here right now, they decided to play the role of, helping others, sharing this information that we need to be prepared for this challenge, because just love itself won't get you through the challenge. If a baby is screaming on the floor, you can't just give it love. You need to give it food. You need to give it water. So later on we could talk about solutions, but and overall the big thing now to realize is, this is not a end-of-the-world problem. It's not a doomsday scenario. It's not even very negative. It's a very hopeful, beautiful process that's going to happen in 2012. Is it going to happen? Yes. So, but what is happening? It's a shift. It's an evolution that the Earth is going through, and the human beings have the responsibility to try to protect the nature so the shift can go better. And second thing is you have to make sure that your mental state and physical state is healthy enough that you survive what the Earth is going through. That's why the breathing is so important. Does this make sense?
Absolutely, yes. And it's reassuring, I think, for some people to know that the end of the cycle in 2012 is not the end of time or the end of the world as such, but as you've correctly pointed out, an enormous shift. Now, you're suggesting that the path to that end of the cycle could be a bit shaky with the earthquakes, etc. But do I also understand you to say that if the human race could find enough love within themselves to create harmony on the Earth, that the physical changes would be very much lessened? Would that be the case?
Now, that is the case. And that is, there are some general understandings out there. And I think you've got them, Michael. There's some general understandings about 2012 that are pretty much accurate. Many people claim that this is a cyclical movement of the Earth, that these things had happened before, and they'll mention either Atlantis or Lemuria, or just, how the tectonic plates have moved before, and these things have happened. And that is, of course, true. The difference point is that there's never, ever been a cycle in the Earth where four photon belts align. And, we've gone through the Pleiades belt every, 26,000 years, or 13,000 years, depending on how you see it. But we've never aligned with four photon belts. Right now, at this point, we're aligning with the Sun, the Pleiades, the galactic system, and the universe, all four of them. And each photon belt itself represents an energy field which is enough power that you have to match that consciousness. But with four of them hitting at the same point, that's what's generating enough power to pull the Earth up. So that is something that's never, ever happened before. And that's why it's very hard for people to explain about what this means, because this has never happened. Cyclical stuff, sure.
Oh, right,
but
yes.
That kind of four things coming at once. So just saying that love is the answer is correct and not correct. It's correct and yes, of course, that's exactly it. The earth is very sick, and the earth is a living organism. It's a very high consciousness. So just by our pressing our consciousness on the earth and praying for the earth, loving the earth, and actually this is the missing point, is actually communicating with the earth. You have environmentalists who talk about how important the earth is, but they don't even know the earth. To know the earth means to sit down and actually have a conversation with the earth as a living organism. And when you do that, you resonate at the same frequency. And the earth is a highly evolved being, which is very close to your original nature. It's actually very close to awakening if you have a conversation with the earth. And by doing that, you resonate on a higher frequency, you heal yourself, and you heal the earth at the same time. So if your mom is sick and you go and you hug your mom, she feels better and you feel better. So
right,
in the
yes.
same logic, that if enough people, if 10% of the world basically what we need, 10% of the world would actually every day communicate with the earth. Every day at 5 o'clock we do a prayer for the earth. So if you spend 5 minutes a day praying for the earth, communicating with the earth, and enough people do that, then the earth would slowly start to heal itself, because it has cancer right now, and it's going through this desperate battle to heal itself. That's what these natural disasters are about. So if enough people can join in that, then the magnitude of these disasters could be reduced. But let's put it into perspective. I mean, since 1960, the 10% of the world has had a goal to wake up the other 90% about nature, about permaculture, about organic farming, about organic goods, about natural living. So actually, they've had this role to play for almost 50 years now. And guess what? It hasn't worked. The 10% hasn't really effectively come together and actually lived that lifestyle and put it into practice, even if they know it. So that hasn't affected the 90%. The 90% is pretty much not aware of any of this. And that's, we're just speaking to the people who already know this right now. But that 90% is really not aware of this, because the 10% hasn't played their role. So even if we try now to fool ourselves that love is the answer, we know we're not going to hit that 90% enough, because if we haven't done it in 50 years, what's going to make it happen in 100 in one more year? And also adding to that is, as I said, that you cannot stop the schedule. Your universe also has a schedule, so that's the problem with just saying, the law of attraction, just saying, if we just send love, you'll bring love. Well, that's great, but do you think your power is greater than the universe? The universe itself also has a schedule. So by breathing and coming to find out what the universe schedule is, then you have to match your actions with the whole schedule of the universe. You're not going to change the universe schedule just through love. This schedule is already set to come. The Mayans talked about it, Nostradamus talked about it. All the great leaders throughout history have known about it in some form, so they talked about it. So you can't change that schedule, but you can, again, make some... The universe wants you to make preparations. Preparation is love. So if you're an advanced being and you love the people here, then you need to, okay, love is important, so we send love. And then actually make some practical preparations, mental and physical and spiritual, and then share that with as many people as can get through the short period of challenge. And the challenges are quite severe, too. When I mention them, not to scare people, because first you talk about this great love, the evolution of the earth, the evolution of us, the chances to actually go up, return to back where we came from, the higher dimension, fifth or higher. On the other hand, we need to have an honest conversation and make preparations to get to that period of time. There could be a short period of an ice age for 6 months or so. So all these kind of preparations need to be made before we start to really talk about the great love and the future that we've always wanted.
Right. I must say, I do think that of fairly recent time, there is an impression that more people are waking up to their responsibility and beginning to take note of what's happening around them and looking for change for the good, I think. Anyway, you mentioned that you've been told that we are entering our fifth dimension, not only as a being, but as a planet. Can you explain that?
Well, I can say that... So there's something called the photon belt, which is an energy field or a quantum light. And it affects both our biological material and our spiritual in our consciousness. So it changes our cells, our DNA, our bone structure, and it changes our spiritual consciousness. So it's like going through a microwave oven. And we must resonate the same resonance to get through that. So the components of the body, the cells, and will be changed in 2012 to adapt to this higher energy frequency or photon belt. So just like the energy of the Earth's magnetic field is greater than a human being, then the solar system or the Pleiades or the universe also has a higher field. So each time we go through that, we go through a greater energy field. So if we're unable to resonate with that, we'll be zapped by this photon belt. And so we go through the photon belt every 13,000 years in Pleiades, but the Pleiades goes through the photon belt of the galactic system every 100,000 years. And then the galactic field goes through the universe every several millions of years. So this is at this moment we're all entering into alignment at the same time. As I said before, this has never happened. So this is considered the universe new Big Bang project. The universe is actually creating itself at this time, going to create more higher level beings. And so it is evolving at this moment. And in the galaxy as well, our entire solar system is due to evolve at this moment. They say no planet has ever done this before. This is the first time the planet Earth has ever actually gone through an ascension like this at once. It's happened before, but in very step-by-step processes. But first time all at once is happening. And before it was very slow, but now all of a sudden, at one leap, that's what the photon, but it makes it possible for one leap to happen. So there are many speculations out there that the Earth is going to be hit by a Nibiru or Planet X or something like that, but what they're all referring to, again, is this this photon belt. This photon belt makes it so we can go through a rapid and intensive evolution. The negative point is that we need to be in line with the universe consciousness, otherwise we won't make it through. So depending on the reason why so many cosmic beings are appearing nowadays is because, A, they want to remind us that we are not alone, that we originally came from the universe. They want to let us know that. And they want us to expand our consciousness that cosmic beings, universes, planets are out there, just like we've gone through local to global. Now we're going from global to universal, which is only natural. So before you didn't know that Peru existed or Peruvians existed. Now you didn't know that Palladians existed. Well, you need to get used to it. They're there. You're going to see them shortly. So that kind of expansion of consciousness. The other thing is that we need to take care of our Earth. They're telling us, look, you need to take care of your planet. Humans are born with that responsibility. On the other hand is, if the Earth is going to evolve in this rapid evolution for the first time, that means the solar system they live in, the cosmic beings around us at the fifth level, at the eighth level, at the ninth level, all of their galaxies are set to evolve, which means that the quality and the quantity of their evolution depends on our evolution this time. So depending on how well we evolve, the Earth may reach the fifth dimension or may reach the seventh dimension. In fact, the information I'm getting is the Earth is actually set to go to a tenth level planet, but over a long period of time. Maybe 3,000 or 4,000 years, but eventually that's where it's actually going to. But it may start at fifth or it may start higher. We know that the Pleiades planet actually went to the seventh level, but because they could not maintain that spiritually with enough consciousness, they actually dropped down to a sixth level. So some of the Pleiades conversations were telling us their stories and how they failed so that we don't fail this time. There are 10 dimensions in the universe. A third level dimension is Earth one. It's an Earth school, where you have the physical body and you have the spiritual body together. But, obviously you have all these animalistic desires and egos, so it's very hard to feel your spiritual side. Then you go into the fifth dimension, and the fifth dimension, your chakras expand and your DNA expands. So instead of 5 senses, you have 10 senses. And again, you can live up to 1,000 years, and you sense everything telepathically. It's a beautiful experience. But that kind of planet, the Earth is 50% good and 50% bad. So that's 50% good energy and 50% negative energy. So no matter what you do, you cannot change the fact that 50% of Earth is always going to be negative. So that's why you're not supposed to focus on that negative. You're supposed to acknowledge they exist, pray for them, and then go in a positive direction. But the fifth dimensional planet is 50% it's an ethereal body and also still a physical body. Actually, fifth dimension, but it's 70% good and 30% bad. So, and then it gets, you know, as it goes up, then that percentage changes as well. Does that make any sense to you?
Right. Now, that's great news for the people that are taking the trouble to make sure they're ready for this ascension. But what do the Palladians say happens to those who, for any reason at all, choose not to take part?
Well, this is what we're doing. As I said, they're telling us to do meditations and prayers for the souls who are in the magnetic field now. Because what happens when the magnetic field, the souls who are not here now, who already died, and they're stuck in the reincarnation field, when that field is released by the photon belt, then what happens is those souls should return back to the universe. But if their consciousness is not ready, then they'll wander. They won't know where to go. So we are doing prayers and meditations to cleanse their energy so they'll feel awakened enough to find themselves. So we're doing for that. So people can pray for those souls. That would be helpful. And the people on the earth, we have to pray that they wake up and try to be full of love and hope. And one other thing we have to realize is that originally human beings already had these DNA and chakra ability inside of us. We already have the ability to communicate with plants, animals, and the universe already inside of us. So what breathing does is it connects us back to that original ability. And going to the fifth level connects us back to that ability as our DNA changes. So people need to remember that originally we are not in control of nature. Nature and human beings are equal. Originally the universe is to know and love human beings, to know and love nature, and to know and love the universe. That's the original program of a human being, a holistic program. What we forgot is that we are supposed to know and love nature and not conquer it. It's an equal member of the planet. And so people can just awaken to that, hug a plant, communicate with the plant, and that would awaken that love inside them. That may be enough to make them get through this. Because you have to realize the challenges that are coming, the natural disasters, the cold, and the political crises and the economic crisis, why are they coming? They're coming for one reason, and that is to make us become humble vessels of the universe. So the universe is going to make us remember that we are originally humble beings. We're supposed to be humble towards each other, towards nature, and towards the universe. Yeah. So through this process, human beings will remember, I am really nothing in face of all this. We're all equal beings, and I'm humble again. So if you can get that mind frame again and declutter your life, declutter yourself and your thoughts and your material, then you can get that mind frame again and you can make it through this. If not, then perhaps you won't make it through. And if that's the case, then you'll have to go through this cycle all over again on another third-dimensional planet, wherever else it's moved to.
Right. Do you think there's any possibility that towards the end of 2012 that the energies coming in, and I guess certainly the energies of the photon belt, will actually bring people's consciousness levels up to a point where virtually everyone can go through?
I would love to say that, and that would be, there are different ways to say it. If you want to just, you know, give the normal answer, and you say, yes, if everyone's just full of love, we'll make it through. You can believe that. But that's not the truth. I'd love to believe that. But it's all going to depend on your level of how much love you have and how much conscience you have. And then, of course, how much also, which is not being mentioned, is the physical preparation. Some people are just focusing on the emotional side, just being full of love and resonating well. On the other hand, I've been traveling the world now and meeting with eco-villages, and people are supposed to be preparing for this crisis and helping people, and they're not preparing. They haven't been preparing the basic physical preparation, which you need to have some food. If some small oil crisis happens or an energy crisis happens or a solar flare hits and the entire energy grid is knocked out, or the photon belt hits and the energy gets knocked out for 6 months, and you have no energy, no heating, no electricity, no oil. So how will you live in that situation for 6 months or up to 3 years? that kind of honest conversation has to be talked about. What kind of, are you preparing some heritage seeds? Are you preparing some food? Are you preparing some clean water? Something that can purify water, such as MMS. Are you preparing an eco-toilet? So that's in case of sanitation problems happens right away. Are you preparing to work together with your communities? Or doing some urban farming like our beautiful place, Cuba? So these are the real conversations that need to be happening in a very short period of time now. It's a year away. In a short period of time, people need to make urgent efforts towards urban farming and towards preparing community and preparing preparation physically. And then mentally, they need to declutter their life. Material is not going to be so important then, so they need to be able to let go of that and let go of their emotional attachments. As I said, breathing is the most essential thing because we want to empty ourselves. And the key thing is that you don't shake by anything. No matter what it is, you need to learn to not shake emotionally by it. And one simple solution is just take a pen and you write down thank you and forgiveness. And you write down every single person you've ever met in your life, and you write down their name, and you write thank you and forgiveness, and that'll release a lot of the heaviness in your mind. And that will make you less heavy at the time frame.
As far as you are aware, are the Pleiadians actually coming to the Earth to perhaps give some of these teachings out and help people through the more difficult period?
I've heard a lot of people talk about that, and there's a lot of hope out there, and that's one of the things that the cosmic beings say, we've been misunderstood, and that's one of the things that they think that they're going to come here and help everyone and help them evolve. But the basic principle of the universe is that only you, through your own willpower, can evolve. No matter what the cosmic beings do, there's nothing they can actually do to help you evolve. Only you can do that.
Yes.
So there may be cases where, I've heard some strange stories that they think the cosmic beings are going to come down and clean up the pollution problems on the Earth. But that doesn't go against, that goes against the whole, law of retribution or karmic system. If you created the pollution, you have to clean it up. Why would they come down and clean up your karmic debts? That doesn't make logical sense. So the problems of the Earth that we've created, we have to deal with. There may be cases where they come down and there are really special souls or in a very emergency situation and they need to be saved. That may happen. But are you really going to put your life in that kind of situation? You take responsibility for your actions and for your preparation for the challenges. And if cosmic beings appear at that time and they may save a few, then that may be possible. But overall, they're here to greet us as neighbors when we reach the fifth dimension where we can share technology with each other and share a cup of coffee and get to know each other. But that they're going to come down and actually provide, be the saviors of the Earth, that's not their role to play. And actually, a lot of this stuff is happening at the level of the universe, which is even above them. So even the cosmic beings, so there's some levels that even we don't understand because it's happening above them. Because it's a process of the entire universe that's in control of this.
Right. Now, Roar, your book covers the period beyond 2012. What major events are going to happen during those years following? I mean, you're talking about a period of 13 years. What major change would you see taking place?
Well, we're going to see up until 2020 or so, we're going to see major changes just in terms of the land itself. Right now, the land is 70% water and 30% earth. But there it's going to shift to 50% water and 50% earth. We're going to see a dramatic shift. Water is going to become land, and land is going to become water. So you're going to see a brand new map of the world that's going to shift. The geological changes are going to happen. So it's very important that people stay away from water areas, try to go towards mountain areas where it's safer.
Right.
And try to find eco villages and eco communities, which is much safer if possible. So you're going to see these shifts in the land, and you're going to see some shifts in the sky as well. There's going to be two suns that are going to come in the sky. And so you're going to see like a crystal film that's going to take over the sky. It's going to be, the weather is going to change to springtime. It's going to stay at spring all the time. And as I said, the DNA of the body is going to change. You'll go up to 10 senses, and you'll be able to, your body will actually become an antenna where you can connect to all the information of the universe itself. It realizes all kinds of secrets that are out there, why I'm here and where I'm going to, and everything will just be based on philosophy, and we'll be able to share with each other information of the universe. And, you know, politics will be run by the most wise people. And although some people, after the challenges, will try to return back to the old way of living, it won't be possible. There'll be enough people who will have become humble and more awake, and they'll say, you know, no, we need to create these kind of villages. So everyone, through the challenges, everyone's going to return to small villages that we lived in, you know, 100, 200 years ago, and go back to village life, but it's not going to be primitive village life. It's only going to be a period of time where we'll be in villages and living off the energy resources that we have. But then,
as we come out of that,
then the newest technology will come out, and the most amazing technology will be available, and we'll start to create beautiful, new humankind culture.
That's wonderful, yes. Now, we are coming up to, regrettably, the last few minutes of the program, and I did want you to tell our listeners where your book is available, and perhaps you might like to give them your website address.
Sure, if they can go to roarsheppard.com, then they can get all kinds of information about stuff. They can go to amazon.com to pick up a copy of the book. And they can also go to hopecast.org, and they can find some information about 2012 in the future as well.
Right. Fine. And your book is available, is it, through Amazon as well?
It's available to amazon.com and also a lot of the big bookstores as well.
It is, right. Okay, that's fine. Well, I think I'm going to have to thank you at this stage for coming onto the program. It's a pity we had those difficulties at the beginning, because we've lost a few minutes of time that we could have spoken a little longer. But it's been a very interesting discussion, and I thank you for coming onto the program.
Michael, thank you so much for having me on the show, and I pray for all the good things for you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Roar. Well, friends, a couple of minutes left just to announce next week's guest, who is Ken Stone. He's a spiritual facilitator, and he works with individuals and groups around the world. And what he does is help people to experience their own connection to the divine and all that comes with that connection. So thank you for being with me today, and I do hope you can make it next week. God bless you all. Thank you very much.